Hey, this is Zoe with Bronze Serpent Media. I'm here with my buddies on All Over the Place, where the fun sanity never ends.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to All Over the Place, the official podcast of Media Pub Live. And we should probably get a ticker going with that. I'm our producer tonight, folks. And, you know, banners, here we go. No, we don't want that. We're really professional tonight, folks.
We are professionals.
Well, actually, Jim, we should, I forgot to announce. And first off, for those of you watching this clip, I did a lot of baseball games today. I was out in the sun all day. I'm looking, and for those of you who are just audio platform only, I'm looking like a sunburnt raccoon right now. Jim can attest to this.
You're almost ripe.
I you know, but it's like I've got these goggles where my glasses tend to reside. So, yeah.
Anyhow. Whereas I live in the Northwest, so I look like a white potato. So,
potato time in the Pacific Northwest. So, yeah, but it's just the two of us tonight, which for those of you who have been paying attention to this show long enough, going way back to our second, third, fourth, and actually, yeah, no, our second show, first show was a round table where we honored our fallen friend Kendra McGowan with a few friends there. And then the second show, we had Dan McClinton and Ken Christensen on to promote their latest project at the time. The
photography book was not.
No, we need to bring that back off with the photography book. But it was,
we do.
It was the second documentary that they did together.
Right.
Because I'm thinking of the one with Nick Searcy, but it's not that one. It's a subsequent one. But they came on. But the shows after that for a little while, as we were finding our footing here on All Over the Place, Jim and I did what we like to call freestyles. We have we usually have topics, too, on that. We were discussing it ahead of time. But tonight, no, we're winging it, folks. And I'm doing it with a sunburn / raccoon look. But I guess the first thing to throw out today, and this is why freestyles are so dangerous now, because we're going to be talking about current events, and by the time the show will air on Tuesday, the subsequent Tuesday, which would be the 16th of April. Today, O.J. Simpson, Orenthal James Simpson, passed away, succumbed to his cancer, and I will say rest in peace. I mean, yes, it's very obvious that he allegedly or seemingly got away with murders. But for those of us who grew up with him as a football player and then a spokesperson and an actor, and, you know, obviously he was a Nordberg in the first two, but was he in the third?
Was he in the, third?
Okay.
Yep, he was in all three. Okay. And actually, the third one came out after the trial had started, and so it was a little bit awkward to see that in the theater while the trial was going on. But we persevered nonetheless.
We made it through, and let's face it, 33 and a third wasn't the greatest of the Naked Guns. But OJ, as someone who has family in the Buffalo Bills family, OJ, it was. Well, no sense revisiting what he did. It's just that he passed away today. And Jim, you're a little younger than I am. I mean, how did you see OJ? Do you remember him from the Hertz commercials? Do you remember him from, or is it basically he just Nordberg and some other acting stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so I was not overly familiar with his playing. But yeah, I knew him from the Hertz commercials, obviously from the Naked Gun movies, which I grew up on and watched all the time as a kid. He was just this goofy persona that I saw on screen. And of course, you know, when that's all you see of somebody on screen, you assume that's at least some part of who they really are. But I would say not in this case. And I'm not going to go as far as you and say rest in peace, but I will say that I hope that some of the people that needed closure with this got closure from it.
You know, and let me back that up too, because I don't want to make this seem like I'm not idolizing the man. It's much like, and Hey, lights are going on and off here, folks. So this has become, again, for those of you who are only listening, you're missing, and let me tell you, it's ultra exciting. The lights in my office are having some fun right now. It, maybe that was OJ's widow and Goldman coming down and saying, hey, knock that shit off. But not glorifying. This to me is obviously, I think the man was guilty as hell, got away with it. And like Jim said, closure, and this can hopefully be, you know, because OJ did turn into a punchline, especially after he got, you know, he had to go to jail for trying to steal. Or did he actually, did he get away with stealing? Well, obviously he didn't because he went to jail, but, you know, when he stole his Heisman, or, and the,
I mean, so my
messed up. So yeah, it's
yeah. My understanding was he claimed he was trying to get some of his memorabilia back, but he had two guys with guns that was helping him shake down somebody in a hotel room for it, and just all kinds of scuzziness. And that ironically is what ended up sending him to jail rather than all the other felonies that
right
that,
yeah.
that he probably should have been. But yeah, just.
Became a clearly character very for those of us who did yeah. grow up, even semi-idolizing, but this guy was an amazing running back in college, then pros, and made that transition from you know, an athlete to an actor, and did a 180 and turned into a, you know, a huge, and believe me, this is an understatement, but a huge disappointment, and then turning into a caricature. Someone that, and you know, when I say rest in peace, I think it's just more just his death can bring some, like Jim said, bring some closure to all the heinous things that he did, and just let's finally put it in the rear view as best as you can for something like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his story just kind of in general is, you know, and this is what everyone talked about during the trial was just this weird beast called fame. That, you know, kind of catapults people into this, you know, this elevated realm that used to just be for kings and queens, and they're not always the best people. They know how to put on a good face, but you don't really know who they are underneath. Sometimes they're wonderful people like Keanu Reeves, who's just the nicest person in the world, and other people. Other times they're not. They just know how to put on that mask and appear to be. So. You know, just I think, you know, I was a teenager when the trial happened. And obviously there was, you know, that whole soap opera that played out was everyone watched that with fascination. But I think what I took away from it is just don't always trust the famous and don't always trust the image they give you, because it, you know, in his case, it was completely two-faced, and they're, you know, I mean, that they act. That's what they do. So they're good at putting out a different image to the world yeah. and it being convincing. So just kind of being wary of that.
Yep. White privilege. What a thing, huh? It's fame privilege, folks. It's not white privilege. It's not black privilege. It's fame privilege. So, yeah.
Well, he was fond of saying I'm not black. I'm OJ. So the privilege goes beyond.
I can't even begin to fathom what he meant by that, but hey, OJ Simpson no longer with us. So, yep. And that's how we're kicking off this AOTP freestyle, but on a much cheerier and happier note, and I was able to share it earlier today on the socials, but a guest of ours, both at the old Radio Free Threadonia and also here on All Over the Place, Margarita Monet, the lead singer and the artist and the image person with the band's image out there with all the different artwork, and Edge of Paradise got picked up by Napalm Records, and very excited for them. They got a new video out, and it's a great next chapter for them. So Margarita and Dave, I've known for a while now, in the original incarnation of Edge of Paradise, they've got new bandmates with them now, and very excited. Congratulations, Edge of Paradise, moving on to the next level with
Congrats. Napalm.
Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Congrats, guys.
We don't have this happened earlier, and we're going to get the explanation all over again for those of us who for those who weren't here when I was doing the countdown. It was 3, 2, 1. In my younger years, I never experienced the voice cracking thing. I was spared that as a teenager. I guess it's a source of embarrassment. I don't know. All I know is once I started umpiring high school baseball, and I know I'm rushing a call, or I'm going too quickly, calling a ball or strike. If I say ball, and the team thinks I called a strike, I said, no, it's just a squeaky ball. I'll call the next one like a man. And my voice just goes on and off with cracking like that. So maybe I should have a little drink of water here. Sadly, no whiskey in it tonight, folks. But, you know, Marty's not here. Christine, in absentia as well, as we do our first freestyle in a while. But they are here in spirit, as always, here on All Over the Place. But
indeed.
Yeah. So something else, we're going, harkening back to the 90s very quickly, as I just started spitballing. But last night, Jim, I was, Seinfeld tended to be my fall asleep. My good comfort show to watch as I fall asleep. But last night I was watching the Cigar Store Indian episode.
Okay.
And this, I think it was 93, 94 when the episode came out. And just the beginnings of the beast that turned into the woke mind virus. But just people being offended by anything. And right. It was... an interesting reminder, especially in light of flash forward to now. And I'm reading that Jerry Seinfeld, and help me out on this one, Jim, you tend to comb the entertainment sites better than I do. Jerry Seinfeld is going to be producing a new show now. Have you heard about this? And he wants to cast Michael Richards. He has stuck by Michael Richards.
I've heard about that. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, but just through my, when Michael Richards had that, you know, the racist stuff he was accused of.
Right.
Back at the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store, which I think it was the Laugh Factory, many moons ago now. But Jerry stuck by him and said, that's not who he is. And right now, from what I'm understanding, he's going to cast him on the show. And if people have a problem with it, Jerry says you can watch something else. So to me, it's nice to have someone who has enough street cred, enough comedy cred, that he can just tell people, you don't like it, go pound sand.
Yep. Yeah, and I wouldn't. I mean, good for him. It definitely helps to have that kind of contact in the business, because that's really what it comes down to. Is cancel culture really only has power if it affects the people in power. So if you have all the people in power in Hollywood and they're seeing a Twitter mob, they'll all say, "I don't want any of that." But if you have one person who has influence that says, "I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway," then they basically have no power at that point.
Right.
You know, so you need those kind of independent voices that just don't care what anybody says, that just do what they're going to do. I wouldn't go so far as to say that the tide is turning against cancel culture, but I think it definitely is not as powerful as it used to be. I watched an interview with Gina Carano on Sage Steele's podcast. Two people that had been canceled by Disney in the past, being interviewed. That was kind of fun. Gina Carano announced she's coming back and producing a couple of TV shows that she's been working on. So she is planning something of a Hollywood comeback. So I think just the fact that these kinds of things are getting made, it's really, that's kind of where the independent voices are going now. You know, it used to be that an independent voice in Hollywood meant somebody who would make something so offbeat that the studios didn't want to touch it. And now it means something that's not politically correct or just involves a person that cancel culture has hit on or something like that.
Yeah.
That's becoming the new, I don't know. People try to attach like the new punk rock to it to try to make it cool, but it's really not that cool. It's just people that have the guts to stand up and do something, and that requires being an independent voice right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it won't require that 10 years from now, 20 years from now. It'll just become just another part of the entertainment culture. But
yeah.
But for right now, they're trying to strangle those voices in the crib as much as possible. So, but really just having an ally on your side, and it doesn't even have to be political. It can just be like, this person's my friend, they're talented, and I want them in my show, and that's all there is to it, like Jerry Seinfeld did.
Yeah. And I can't remember if it's Peter Farrelly or who's the other Farrelly brother?
Bobby.
Do you know which one wrote and directed Ricky Stenicki on Amazon Prime?
I believe it was Peter, but I can't remember. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's Bobby, apologies. But, if you see a correction on the ticker, it's because we did our homework, or I did the homework afterward, and I'll fix that in post.
Corrections are for the week.
Or it's a nice way of helping me, be a little self-deprecating. But have you seen Ricky Stenicki yet?
I have not. I'm not a huge John Cena fan as far as his acting goes. Mm-hmm. But I will check that out at some point.
Christian Toto in his review of this, he's perfect for this. And I think I'm hesitant because the guy is. He's a stooge for the Hollywood crowd, the quote unquote the allegedly cool kids, but I think he's funnier than hell or can be, and especially in this one, perfect role for him. And it's one of those whatever Farrelly brother, the Farrelly director of this one, just said comedy's coming back. Comedy like this, where if it offends you, so what? So, yeah, and then to tie this back to the cigar store Indian, there's just a point where you got to realize funny is funny. And going to what Jerry said, if you don't like it, if this offends you, watch out. You've got plenty of other options. Change the channel, which is what people on the right have been told for years. Well, why are you so offended by this? Just watch something else. Okay. But now we say that to them and things go 0 to 60.
We were told that in bad faith by people that believe they own the culture and therefore we're not really giving us any alternative. So when they say turn the channel, they're just saying turn it off and don't participate in the culture because we own it and you don't get to enjoy it anymore. But, the Farrellys, man. They made their bones doing comedies that even back in the 90s were considered extreme. Something About Mary and Kingpin and Dumb and Dumber. Those movies, they really went out of their way to be shocking. But you never got the sense that it was they were trying to be edgy so much as just saying this is where the laugh is, so we're gonna go there. Even if it's we're going a little harder at this than any other comedy you've seen in a while. But to your point about it's just comedy, it's just the jokes. I watch a lot of movie reaction channels on YouTube, and a lot of times it's millennials reacting to older movies, which I always find fascinating. You can look it up. There's people in their 20s watching Blazing Saddles now, and at first they don't get it. They go through that where they need a smelling salt at first, and just I declare, but it doesn't take long for them to get it, to really get what's going on, the whole point of the movie is to make fun of racism and to make fun of bigotry and all these things. And you watch this, and by the end of it, they're having the best time. They're laughing harder than they've probably laughed in years because, they're in a place where they can laugh at stuff, and it's not off limits anymore because that's the universe this world has created, and they're just enjoying that for an hour and a half, And there's nobody telling them you can't laugh at that, and that's not okay, and they just get it, and then they come out of that world and go back to their world, but that's the great thing about somebody like Mel Brooks is he transports you to a world where you can laugh at stuff that you normally wouldn't in a lot of cases.
Right.
But within the world of that movie, it's kind of, it's like a safe place, you know?
Yeah. And I have confirmed it is Peter Farrelly. So there will be no need for the correction as I, oh shoot, why am I blanking out? What was, on the old, Red Eye, who, Gutfeld, but who did the checking? What's that process called when you're the ombudsman?
Andy Levy.
I'm our Andy Levy. Yes, the ombudsman. So I'm kind of the auto ombudsman here for correction. when I'm fixing things or when I'm going through things in post, I'm just checking things out. So Peter Farrelly and I'm trying to think, what's the Woody Harrelson movie that was out last year? I'm blanking on that one, where he took the mentally handicapped kids to the Special Olympics, the basketball tournament.
Oh, I think I heard about that one, but I didn't see it, so I'm not sure what it's called.
But yeah, and of course, I'm struggling here. I'm going through apparently he didn't direct Kingpin. How is that not possible? But
Farrelly didn't?
No, Peter didn't direct Kingpin, so I'm guessing his brother did.
Well, I think they do a thing like the Coens where a lot of times one will direct and one will write, but they're kind of working together on everything.
Right, yeah. So but that movie with Woody, again, comedy, Tom, and if you get offended, so what? But that one I think got unfairly swept under the rug because of what Woody Harrelson's appearance on SNL, where he actually was speaking sensically about, you know, where things were politically.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden what Woody was, here's a guy we've laughed at for years who is a dyed-in-the-wool lefty, but oh my gosh, someone's left the plantation. We can't, and that movie unfairly got swept under the rug. Again, just a comedy. That'd be one that I think you and your son could definitely watch together.
Okay. Good to know. I'll check it out.
Yeah. And Ricky Sinicki, maybe not Ricky Sinicki with him, but I think Christine and I were laughed from start to finish on that one.
Yeah.
And just again.
So yeah, I've never really seen a whole lot of Range with John Cena, but you know, sometimes it takes a comedy like that to really bring it out. And I suspect this one is the case. I saw the trailers. It was pretty funny. And just to say about John Cena, somebody commented that he looks like Jim Varney on steroids, and now I can't unsee that.
My God, I'd never thought about that before, but absolutely 100% true. Yeah.
Yeah. You could totally see him losing weight and doing an Ernest movie, and it would just be, yeah.
Well, I think there's actually a good spot in Ricky Sinicki where he makes fun of being on roids. So yeah, it's well timed with that observation. Yes. So
right on.
But yeah, we definitely check out Ricky Sinicki and was it the Comebacks? Was that the name of the? I gotta get the name.
That
of
sounds it. Right. Yeah, I think it is the Comebacks.
But Woody Harrelson was great, and Caitlin Olson was very. I'm liking her. She's making a decent splash for me outside of the Always Sunny in Philadelphia stuff. But there are.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's not the Comebacks. Was the old movie with David Koechner? I think. Was Nick? No, Nick Nixer. Okay. Let's see. Caitlin Olson. She had that really good show on Fox, or that just one season, maybe got to a second, but The Mick was hilarious. And again, just probably for copy's sake, and it was funnier now.
Oh yeah, totally. And she's a sweet D on Always Sunny.
Yes, of course. Right?
Yeah, which I cannot believe that show is still on the air. Just
well, it takes Blake for so long before coming back and doing another one, doing another season.
Right, but just the most insane show ever. You know, you watch it and you just wonder where do these writers come up with this stuff? It's you know, you got to small list of a few insane shows, that one and South Park and a few others that are just holding on for dear life and, you know, kind of keeping edgy comedy alive at this point. But
Champions—that's the name of it. Champions.
Champions. Okay. Good deal. I'll check that one out. Yeah, Woody's one of those actors that, you know, I didn't like him for a long time because I felt like he was kind of just playing Woody from Cheers for a long time, just playing variations on that and just playing that same goofy guy. And, you know, and then suddenly, you know, something like Zombieland, and it just completely changes my opinion of him because he was so good in that, so funny playing this crazy redneck zombie killing machine. And it's just
phenomenal.
Just fantastic, and just completely changed my point of view about the guy.
See, for me, well, once you see Natural Born Killers, or in the case of me, and seeing it 7 times in the theater, and it just got better every time I saw it. I don't know what that says about me, but that changed my opinion of Woody Harrelson and what he could do. And then People versus Larry Flint, I thought he was great in that one, and just stretching outside of, you know, Woody or White Man Can't Jump, and then that persona. But I've liked Woody as an actor for a while, and just getting crazy. And Bobby Farrelly directed Champions.
Okay.
So made sure I got my Farrelly brother correct on that one. Thank you, IMDb, for helping me with that.
So. And I believe it was Bobby Farrelly who made a show that I've been a fan of lately called Loudermilk.
Loudermilk, yes. Christine is. I've watched bits and pieces of it, and I got to catch up with the whole thing because that show is very, very well done. Very funny.
It is. Yeah, it's a really entertaining show. Set up here in the Northwest. And Ron Livingston is so good on that show. He's an actor you don't see very often, you know, but every once in a while he'll pop up in, you know, Office Space or the World War II show, Flash.
the better, yes.
Band of Brothers or something like that. And and he just reminded me, like, man, this guy is so good at what he does, and you know, he should be a lot more popular than he is, but I know he's really good on Loudermilk, playing this kind of sad sack guy in recovery, and just his, you know, just his kind of rants against everyday life. And they're just so much fun, and yeah, they kind of give me life a little bit because, you know, quite often he's saying what I'm thinking.
And he's a music critic too, or former music critic, which I'm like, I should be watching more of this show than I have. But again, the ones I've watched with Christine have been very funny. And Will Sasso, can we just give a quick shout out and a lot of love to Will Sasso?
Oh, absolutely.
He seems to be popping up everywhere when you just watch something.
Something. Anybody who saw Mad TV knows how funny he is, he did Steven Seagal, and just he could do just about anything on Mad TV and make it funny, but he does some good dramatic work on Loudermilk, and even Brian Regan of all people,
has some
really good dramatic moments on that. You know, who knew that guy had a dramatic actor in him. But he's actually quite good on that too, and hilarious in other parts. But no big surprise, because he's funny as hell. I've seen him. I've seen his stand up, and he's great.
And Will Sasso, going back to one of my favorite, and we need to make a threefer of this. At some, we got to figure out how to do this. But I think going back to the 90s again, the last great politically incorrect movie. And for me,
I don't know if you have to go back to the 90s for that, but
I mean, how far do we go? And when in the 2000s were you still allowed to just make a comedy and not have to deal with the backlash from it? But I'm going to give up my ghost here. And folks, you might remember this. You might not. I don't know. But Drop Dead Gorgeous. And Will Sasso played a mentally challenged son of a hardware repair store. And just... guy is hilarious when he wants to be. And then on Justified, it wasn't a huge role on that, but he played a nice a hitman type thing, but dramatic role. But yeah, Will Sasso, much love. And a quick shout out to Zach Selwyn on that one. He has worked with Zach and Will have done some podcast episodes.
Oh, nice.
Something. So We could play Six Degrees of Will Sasso sometime.
We absolutely could. He's been in enough stuff at this point that we probably could do that.
Actually, I think we just did, but we'll make it official sometime, some other time. Yeah, so trying to think what else. And folks, you may have noticed that we haven't really touched on politics, because let's face it, do we need to? If I may quote our good buddy and friend of the show, John Ziegler, we are left this year. What did South Park call it in 2016 when it was Hillary versus Clinton? Hillary Clinton versus Trump at that point. What was it? Douchebag versus shit sandwich.
I think that actually goes all the way back to the election before that. Yeah.
Same theory applies. But this year, Ziegler said pretty poignantly and pretty accurately, this year we've got lobotomy versus castration. So the less we talk about those two, the better. Me, and this is as political as I will get in the next 4 years, no matter what happens, I'm just holding out hope for Ron DeSantis rebounding and then just proving what he actually, to me, proved last year. Just not the best campaigner in the world last year. He just got steamrolled by the ego machine that's known as Trump. But DeSantis, I'm holding out hope. And you'll see my politics kept to a low murmur at best.
Yeah, I mean, I'm when it comes to, you know, voting, when it comes down to the voting booth, I'm a pretty practical person. I think it comes down to you get your two choices and you pick the least crappy out of the two. And that's pretty much been my philosophy for a very long time. As far as who gets their name on the ballot, there's, you know, we have a limited amount of power over that, sadly. It would be nice to see some folks on the ballot that are, that are more inspiring to vote for. I'll put it that way.
I can hold my nose from 2024 to 2027, and at that point, we'll have neither the lobotomy nor the castration. And you can attach whoever you want to that comparison that you want on that one. But neither of them will be on the ballot in 2028, and America hopefully hasn't been steered into a ditch at that point. I try to stay positive. And then we can either rebound or continue an upswing. So, and that, folks, is as political as we will get on this edition of the All Over the Place Freestyle.
Yes.
And I brought him up earlier, and as we shift into the back end of the show and the winding things down, got Christian Toto, our good friend over there at Hollywood and Toto. He brought up recently on his X page, would you pay to see another Ghostbusters installment? And I should preface this. I should have asked you, have you seen the latest one, Frozen Empire?
I have not seen Frozen Empire. It's been, I've been out of town a lot, and I have not had the chance to get to the theater in a while. So Ghostbusters and Dune are both on my list to see very, very, very soon, but I have not gotten to them yet.
Right.
I really enjoyed Afterlife. I thought it was really well done. Jason Reitman did a great job bringing that story, the storyline back and the characters back in a way that was respectful and fun and exciting and scary. I've seen some people now that this one's come out and maybe been considered not as good. People are kind of coming back and saying that maybe Afterlife wasn't as good either. I disagree. I think Afterlife was fantastic. I haven't seen Frozen Empire. Yeah, I haven't seen Frozen Empire, but I think it's probably going to be probably an entertaining watch. I'll go see that and be cautiously optimistic. As far as a third one goes, I think we should make this a trilogy, and I think we should finish it. I think based on what I've heard. So again, this is just going off of what I've heard about the newest one. The newer characters haven't gotten a lot of development yet, two movies in, and so there really isn't a feeling like they're lining up to be the Ghostbusters that we would need to replace the old guys. Mm-hmm, so hopefully that'll happen in the third movie. But I think that happens a lot with these reboots. Because they go with young actors, they go with actors that aren't very well known, and then suddenly they're supposed to slot them into these roles that were filled by adults and established characters, and they never really quite get there. So I'm kind of getting that feeling off of this series, but I think Jason Reitman needs to come back into the director's chair, because he didn't direct Frozen Empire, and from what I understand, it was a drop in quality. Didn't have quite that same shine on it, shall we say.
100%. Where I'm gonna go.
Feel like if his dad kind of bequeathed that franchise to him, and it's his baby now, he needs to take the reins and make sure the third one's really good. But I think if he can do that, I'd absolutely buy a ticket to it.
Yeah, don't George Lucas it out and have someone else direct your second and third installments. Do not do that.
Although it did work out for Empire Strikes Back, so fair enough.
Yes, indeed. So, we don't need to revisit Ewoks on this show. We all know where I stand on Ewoks, and never forget, folks, something I figured out in the last year or so, you can't spell woke without Ewok. you haven't seen it. I'll reserve my full review, but just what you're saying, I liked it. I'll leave it at that. But Jason Reitman, in answering the question that on Christian's thread, I need Jason Reitman back in that chair, because you know he did such a great job with Afterlife. And again, the naysayers, whatever. It was in the best spirit of the original Ghostbusters from '84. And Jason Reitman, I was telling Christine this recently, he's a guy that I will go see the movie just based on the fact that he is the one directing it.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic.
That style of irreverence, but irreverence, but still enough of a reverence for film and making great movies. And it's a gift that his dad had, and Jason's got it. And just serving as writer on Frozen Empire, Ian back in the director's chair. Like, to take the reins and make it great, and then have them ride off into the Ectomobile sunset the way that Indy and Sala and Dr. Jones and Marcus did at the end of Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
Oh, you mean the last Indiana Jones movie that got made?
Exactly. So, yeah. But I guess to wrap things up, though, I do want to, and I hope, first let me ask you this, Jim. Did you, because it seems so in your wheelhouse, did you watch the G4 network when it was around in the early 2000s?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So in Attack of the Show, you probably watched
Attack of the Show. That. Yep.
So you really, you knew Zach before you knew Zach through me.
Yeah. I remembered him on that. I haven't seen him in a lot else that he was in, but I do remember him on that.
Okay, so you got to see his old, well, I guess his still band as the Lobos Riders, so you got to see come on sing their song about he wants to be a lawnmower because they're always on grass, and singing songs like that. Zach is a favorite over at the High Times magazine, and Zach's just a hilarious songwriter. So, but have you seen the documentary Attack of the Doc? Yes.
I have not.
It's on Freebie. Oh no, I'm sorry, it's on Tubi right now. Tubi. That's where we watch it. So yeah, it's on Tubi with commercials. But check it out. It's a very well done documentary, and just for me, I watch it peripherally because I wasn't a gamer. I've been a gamer since it wasn't Atari. I won't deny it. Played the Genesis a little bit in the '90s, but never owned one. But Attack of the Doc, Attack of the Show, it did a great job coming back. And then Zach has songs within it. And just going back and revisiting that. And Olivia Munn and Kevin Pereira. Is it Pereira?
Pereira.
That was a show that just, and as they say in the documentary, set the stage for so much of what is internet entertainment now.
Oh, yeah. It was basically YouTube before YouTube. I mean, it was really an interesting cultural artifact of the time. The content was, kind of perfectly exemplified what was popular at the time, with the sketches and, the dude bro humor, mm-hmm. Pop culture references, things like that. And I mean, you know, there isn't a better comparison of where our culture is now to then, comparing the show back when it was big versus when they tried to make a comeback and tried to wokeify it, and it died after I think less than a year. It almost because the ratings were so bad, mm-hmm. and you know, it just perfectly exemplified, you know, the idea of this phantom audience that a lot of modern entertainment is trying to cater to that never shows up to make it a success.
I didn't realize what an effect that they had, and it was a good symbiotic relationship at the San Diego Comic-Con. They kind of made each other.
Yeah, they were huge back then. I mean, it was a very pop culture was very freewheeling back then. You know, now it's, I think it got so big with things like the MCU that all the giant corporations wanted in, and they all bought it up and then got it under their thumb. And now it's all, you know, very mass marketed and sterile and not a lot of personal freedom involved in the fandom nowadays, sadly. But,
kind of akin to what I've heard going on with South by Southwest and Austin, how it's become corporatized.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, something like Attack of the Show, I mean, looking back on that, it's just, it was a perfect encapsulation of that, of kind of how it used to be.
And I didn't
know. Yeah. Olivia Munn was not hard on the eyes either.
And I didn't realize how long it lasted in its original incarnation. I think 2012, I think, is when Pereira did his final show, or maybe he was at the beginning of 2013. But
I think so.
It lasted a nice amount of time. But yeah, folks, definitely check out, and Jim, check out Attack of the Doc. Very good stuff. And
we'll do.
It's always nice to see Zach out there doing his original music and just the commentary within. Good stuff.
Definitely.
And that's all I've got for this freestyle, Jim. What's on your brain? As I get the thought of God's creation, fitting of all over the place.
Going back to, you know, our discussion about comedy and kind of where everything used to be, I recently watched for the first time a Wes Anderson movie. I'm gonna have to look it up now because I forgot what it was called. The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Uh huh.
Wes Anderson movie from 2014. It's gotten kind of a cult following. A lot of people are kind of discovering it nowadays. And so I rewatched that. I'm not a big Wes Anderson fan. I think his characters kind of annoy me, and I don't know, everything about it's just a little bit too I don't know, a little too quirky for my taste. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed that one. Ralph Fiennes is really good in it. And I feel like that movie it came out in 2014, which is kind of the tipping point of when comedy was still kind of allowed to be bold and daring and do its mm-hmm. thing. There's some language in there that would not be allowed in a comedy today. And some jokes that probably wouldn't be, but it's really funny. It's definitely one of Wes Anderson's better movies. But it's fascinating to see something from 10 years ago that almost feels like it could have been made 50 years ago.
Because of the content
and, you know,
for me, cause I love Wes out of the gate. I loved Wes Anderson. It just connected with me that it was the quirkiness that did connect. And then I'm trying to think, remember what the first one that I did not see in the theaters, I believe was the one with Bruce Willis. And it was the one after the Royal Tenenbaums. Oh, actually, no, it was Royal Tenenbaums, then Steve Zissou, and then was the one after Steve Zissou. It was the first one I didn't see in the theater. It just didn't.
Moonlight Kingdom?
Moonlight Kingdom. Thank you. I didn't see that one in the theater. Just the reviews weren't good. The preview, that didn't grab me. And I didn't see Grand Budapest Hotel. Or I think they say over across in Eastern Europe, Grand Budapest Hotel.
Grand Budapest.
Budapest. So I didn't see that one. But Christine has seen them all. So I need to catch back up with that one. But to me, French Dispatch really grabbed me by the throat again. And said, yeah, that's the Wes Anderson I remember. That the quirkiness, and that was perfect. And then Asteroid City.
Yeah.
Like that one. Yeah, like I said, those are the kind of movies that you could be made in a prior time, just like I said, 40, 50 years ago. And so I will. I can't believe we on our past threefer, I forgot to make an announcement about it. I know, big deal. I forgot to make an announcement. I finally saw The Golden Child.
Ah, excellent.
And there's only two of us tonight, so would it have been okay if I brought my brother Mumsy along?
My dear sweet brother Noomsy.
I did like the movie, and again, Christine nailed it. Was probably in the wake of my coma. Just a movie that got under my radar for many years, but finally corrected that problem. Eddie Murphy, great stuff. I now am familiar with the knife song that was brought up two shows ago, so I get it now. And yeah, good stuff. But I can now
classic Eddie Murphy
and see Grand Budapest Hotel. I'll go back and look. So before our next official threefer, I will have seen Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay, not intending to give you homework, but I'm giving you homework.
if I can fit it in, I like homework. Once again, folks, I am a damn raccoon now because I was on a baseball field all day. Labor of love, no complaints whatsoever. It's a good tired. Four games today, five tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. And 3-3 over the weekend, just taking a little bit of a break because it's Christine's birthday this weekend. So we're going to a concert on Saturday night and then back to the baseball field I go. So, yeah.
Saturday
morning. But, well, Jim, we did a threefer. Well, no, not a threefer. We didn't do a threefer, but we did. We went back to a freestyle. And
we did.
Pretty painless.
Good stuff.
Well, painless for us. I hope our all-over-the-place audience likes it.
It does for the definition of all over the place. So
if you don't like it, oh, that's fine. You don't have to like every show. We hope you like the shows, but you know, it's all over the place. Might not fit for you tonight. I don't know. But either way, we are glad you're a listener. We are extremely thankful for that. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. Our subscriptions are going up. It's a slow and steady race, but it's the pendulum swinging in the right direction for us. And as I've mentioned, we can't do this show without you. We don't want to do this show without you. We enjoy bringing this stuff to you, and thanks for listening. Jim, thanks for being here, co-hosting. Christine and Marty will be back on the next show, and it'll be a threefer. Topic to be determined, to be announced. But you're going to like it, and you're going to share it, and you're going to subscribe. Thanks, folks, for listening to All Over the Place. I'm Eric with Jim. Thanks again, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
All Over the Place, where the fun sanity never ends.